Category C6, Specialist Speech Programme. Future Proof.
When I was a teenager, I went to a gallery in London on a school trip and saw a photograph that I assumed was a painting. It was the most perfect of pictures, a small house under a blanket of white snow at the foot of a mountain. And in the sky, a mystical green and red fog almost obscuring the stars above. Since then, I've dreamt of travelling north one day to see the Aurora Borealis. This is that journey. A three-day adventure by plane, boat and dog to the Arctic Circle to see the most spectacular light show on the planet. For the next 3 days, producer John Fardy and I would be bedding down here in Tromsø, a beautiful city at the northernmost part of Norway, inside the Arctic Circle, and one of the best places in the world to see the Aurora Borealis. Having dropped off our bags, we headed straight out to the Tromsø Museum for a bit of context.
Hello.
How are you?
Welcome to us. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Great. Coming all the way through the cold and...
This is Per Helge Nyland, a former scientist who is considered the region's guardian of the stories and history of the Northern Lights.
Tell our audience.
So, what is the Aurora Borealis? Because we have this beautiful lights display in the sky, but most people don't really know what's going on.
Now, and what you see is glowing gases in our own atmosphere. But it all starts on the sun.
Violent nuclear activity in the sun causes electrical currents of charged gas to create a magnetic field on the surface of the sun. This charged gas called plasma drags and twists the field out from the sun until it snaps like a rubber band, and several billion tons of plasma is hurled from the sun as a solar storm. Travelling at up to 8 million kilometres an hour, the plasma passes Mercury, Venus, and then hits Earth. Guided by our own magnetic field, it clashes into our atmosphere at the poles.
Because from the sun comes this constant stream of electrons that we call the solar wind. They convey energy from the sun to the upper atmosphere of our own planet and makes gaseous atoms like oxygen glow up. And when we have got, I'd say, about 100 million oxygen atoms that are sending off little sparks of light at the same time, that's what we can start to make out with a naked eye as an aurora.
Now that we'd heard the myths, it was time to see the real thing. The first leg of our journey would be by dog sled to Gvala, or Whale Island.
We've had 2 hours sleep. We're now going on an 8-hour dog sledding ride. The man called Tura, who's pretty hardcore. He's lost some of the tips of his fingers from frostbite, so I brought my gloves.
My name is Tura. Good morning.
Hi, Tura. I'm Jonathan. How are you?
Hello, Jonathan. I'm fine.
This is Tore Albrigtsen, an ultramarathon runner and adventurer who has crossed Alaska solo by ski and has dog sled since he was 12. As a teenager, his mother told him to choose between the family and the dogs. He chose the dogs. Tore says each dog has a designated position in its pack, depending on its personality.
It's a very specific way you put together a pack, isn't that right?
Yes, it's correct. When you're building up a team, we need lead dogs who are going to go where we tell them to do. And then we have swing dogs who are behind the leaders, and then we have wheel dogs who are behind, close to the stretch.
So is there any worry that I won't be able to control the dogs? How do you get the dogs to respect you?
That's the reason you only have six dogs today.
Okay.
You never get a rookie, a huge team, you know. When you start learning or driving a car, you never start with a truck or a bus. That's just how it is, so...
And just like that, we sped off.
Woo!
Despite their size, a team of dogs is faster than a team of reindeer and can reach speeds of up to 30 miles an hour. Without any safety equipment and hurtling through trees, it felt like we were doing 60. Bravely, producer John Fardy took the passenger seat.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Whoa. Wow.
Stop.
Whoa.
That was crazy.
I did my best. It's not easy.
No, I know. You were pretty good. You were pretty good for a first timer.
The extra weight you're packing helped keep the sled.
Yeah, exactly.
That was incredible.
That was incredible, yeah.
Yeah.
You realize how much power there is in six dogs.
Yeah, so it's a lot of power.
Basically, when I tell you to stay on the brake, be on the brake, because the dogs are unpredictable. They just want to run. Can you imagine how it is to go with a bigger team? For example, when I go with my racing team with 16 dogs, it's so impressive, so much power. I don't tell it to my girlfriend, but sometimes that feeling even better than sex.
I can actually imagine. It is, it's a very visceral, real experience. You certainly feel alive when you're being pulled on a sled by six wild, well, not wild, but nearly wild dogs.
During the first night, the tent was ripped to pieces, and we had to hang out there for a couple of days without no shelter. Then the weather was getting a bit better, and we was trying to go a bit further down to a shelter cabin we knew was down there. But during that journey, it was very exposed terrain, steep, it's a high mountain. So during that descent down to the shelter cabin, I suddenly had an Irish guy in front of me. He had lost his headlamp and was stumbling around there in the darkness. Had no idea about where he was going. And so I was leading him with me down to the cabin where we could hang out until the next day. And then the weather was getting better and we was able to walk down by ourselves.
You saved his life.
Well, he said so.
Unfortunately, it didn't come without a price. At what point did you realize that there was something wrong?
During that process, when the tent was broken and we were without shelter, we was, of course, the very, very hypothermia, you know. The body defense was connected in, you know. The central heating is taking away the blood from fingers and toes and keep the rest of the body alive. And I realized I was not able to stay warm enough. 10 people died up there of cold.
How does that not put you off? I mean, how, after losing the tips of your fingers, losing friends, knowing that 10 people died on an expedition, how do you start planning your next trip? How is that possible?
Well, I always said, and I will always say, there is no trip, there is no mountain who are worth risking life or body parts for doing. But of course, sometimes you are in an area where you cannot avoid it. And for me, it's basically simple. I still want to do the tours. I still want to go on. But of course, I have very, very high respect for the elements.
So this is a fjord, is that right?
This is a fjord, yeah. The name of this fjord is Grøtfjordvågen.
It's sort of eerie here. It's so quiet and the stars are out and it's a beautiful clear night. The moon is lighting up the sky and
we're on a beach in the middle of January in Norway with snow-capped mountains around us, and there's snow all across the beach. It's absolutely beautiful.
You have the Big Dipper there, and so to find the true north, you take the two highest stars in the Big Dipper to the right, those two that are highest now, and you make a line between those two stars, and you follow that line towards the left, about five times the distance between those two stars. Keep following them up, and so the North Star is straight up there.
Ah.
And the North Star is the only one that does not move, so it keeps always pointing to the true north, because it's on the axis of the Earth. And because we're almost at the North Pole, it's almost straight above us.
Yeah.
So if you see it in Ireland, you will probably see it more close to the horizon.
Yeah. I've never looked straight up at the North Star before.
Why are you running, Jonathan?
Well, unsurprisingly, because standing around for hours in the freezing cold leads to a loss of heat. So I keep myself warm. It's fun out here. I mean, it's nice. It's not for people who crave, you know, extreme adventure. But actually, it's lovely.
Are you underwhelmed? Or
I'm underwhelmed at the moment. We've just basically seen the tiniest bit of green.
But did you pick up more on your camera than you saw with the naked eye? Yeah.
Yeah, but even that was just like, it could have been a spot camera. But you know, I mean, we've some beautiful photographs already, but it's not quite the Northern Lights, is it?
Not yet.
Yeah, we thought we had it, and then it seemed to disappear again.
And so we waited and waited and waited. 1 hour later.
Now we're seeing a faint Northern Lights, but it's really right, almost straight to the west. And so that gives me very high hopes that it might grow bigger. Have to be strong in the hope. Uh-huh. It's important.
Yeah, well, it's actually happening. We've been waiting in the cold for some time, but we're all frantically taking photographs of that what looks like sort of green smoke coming from behind that hill. It's absolutely beautiful. It looks like someone set off some sort of a smoke flare just on the horizon.
And then the sky came alive. Bright neon green spewed from the north and spilled across the horizon to the south, at times looking like fire and at other times looking like something completely different, something magical.
Oh my God. That is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. Oh my God. So now, after waiting for 3 hours, all across the entire landscape is this beautiful golden... Look at it, John.
Charged particles from our sun, guided along our magnetic field, were smashing into the atoms of oxygen in our atmosphere, firing off light in the process. The whole experience was overwhelming.
Oh my God.
I can't believe we were about to leave. We were packing up our stuff. and this just erupted. It's like the cosmic dance. It is incredible. It really is. You know what people are talking about now.
Yeah, it actually looks like there's horses dancing in the sky. That sounds like something I would never ordinarily say. Oh my God. I gotta get a photo of this. Okay, I just had a double rainbow moment. Have you seen that on YouTube, John?
No.
I need to Google it. That is one of the highlights of my life. That was absolutely incredible. It's like, you know when Simba, you know the Lion King?
Yes.
Yeah, you know when Simba appears
when his father appears to him in the sky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
Sort of. I got a little bit too enthusiastic and I just started taking photographs and I forgot to put my glove back on. I have something akin to frostbite now.
Yeah, it's funny. We're all a bit tired because it's been a long day and it's now going on for 2 a.m. But when that appeared, we just suddenly all... It's like it was
midday. Lost the run of ourselves. Yeah. Oh, my God. That is, and it's getting brighter again. Wow, it just spans the entire sky. I need to go take one more photograph. Wow, what a trip. We are at the end of our journey. It's been a real ride of experience. We've done so much in so little time. We've managed to see the aurora, which was emotional. And now we're sitting down beside a fire, drinking hot chocolate, looking at some of our photographs. What do you think, John? What do you make of Tromsø?
It's absolutely glorious. We're up here on a mountaintop, and we're all a bit exhausted, to be honest. That's why I sound seven octaves lower than usual. But it's been wonderful. It really has, for all sorts of reasons.
Happiness is a warm hot chocolate on a mountain in Norway. Having spent the last 4 hours seeing the greatest light display on the planet. Cheers.
Det bor ett troll I Senja. Det förfärligt stort. Det fiskekval på Malangs grund som man fiska mot. La 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 la.